scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and this week we're bringing the thunder.
We are bringing the thunder.
And by bringing the thunder, I mean we have like eight movies to talk about.
And I made beans for pasta.
Yes, and Kevin, as always,
Let's just move on. Is
his generally gross self. So,
okay. How do you get a hold of us, Neil?
Should make for an interesting show. If you'd like to get a hold of us and talk about all the various things we're about to talk about, you can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies, the iTunes store. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. To my knowledge, we didn't get any voicemails.
No voicemails. So. Please, somebody, send us hate.
Send us after this show, email. I have a feeling.
Send us a nasty voicemail.
Once we get done talking about Tropic Thunder, we're going to be...
We're going to be the most reviled people on the internet.
Somebody's going to protest us.
Let's hope so.
Michael Schreiber guy.
Oh.
That's right.
Dipping your toe in the water. Of course, you may not be able to hear all of this on the radio. You will have to go to the internet.
Yeah, the internet-only segment's where we're going to talk about that. We're actually just going to review Tropic Thunder in the regular segment.
Because we have like 9,000 movies.
Right, we don't have time to dwell.
Yeah.
So let's get started.
Okay, right? Let's not dwell.
We'll start with, I don't know, where do you want
to
start?
Fly me to the moon in 3D.
Okay.
Yeah, it's three mischievous flies hitch a ride on the first manned flight to the moon.
Did anybody see that?
See what, sir?
A fly. Three, to be exact.
That's going to the moon! That's going to the moon!
Lord of the flies, they are going to the moon!
Your boy's going to the moon. I could only dream about doing that.
This is so cool.
Now, if you notice the cameo of Doc Brown.
Wow.
Telling about going to the moon, but not using the flux capacitor.
Going back to the future. Your boys are going to the moon.
Rhodes, where you're going, we don't need Rhodes.
It's a computer-generated film in 3D.
Yes.
And it's really
sounds like
being...
a computer wrote the script as well.
Wow. You're just hating on the movie. You didn't even see it.
I know.
You are so
hateful. That trailer was bad, though. I'm not kidding.
It's not a good trailer. It's being touted as the first animated film made specifically for 3D. I mean, movies like
every
Monster
film that comes
House.
Out 3D is like the next first film made for 3D. It's like Journey to the Center of the Earth was like the first film we actually thought about doing 3D before the production started.
Yeah. Now, apparently Journey to the Center of the Earth is doing well enough that it is sort of stopping the flow of the Fly Me to the Moon into some cities. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Right.
So here's the thing. It's if you got kids, especially if you got little kids, I brought my two sons, 7 and 5, to go see it. They enjoyed it. Don't give me that smirk. You're like, he's going to talk about his kids again.
No, it's... Kids should like this kind of stuff.
Kids are going to like this movie.
Take your kids to see this. Don't let them go see Tropic Thunder.
Exactly. Fly Me to the Moon, it's cute. It's about these flies. And it really has, I will say, it has some forced humor. It has some forced situations.
It's about flies.
Well, there you go. It's about flies. I don't know.
I dig 3D. I can dig that. I can, you know. Sure.
Let's put it this way. In a way, it's kind of like Journey to the Center of the Earth, whereas if it were not released in 3D, I don't think it'd be really worth seeing.
Fair enough.
It's fun to watch, and your kids will like it.
Seems like that is a common theme among the 3D releases, where it's like, the 3D is cool. Like, Beowulf was like that. 3D is cool, but if this was in 2D, or, you know, when I finally got Beowulf on DVD, it really lost a lot.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny, Jason Zingali from Bullseye.com, who we've had on the show before, he made a comment, because he hates 3D, and he made a comment to me at a screening this week. He's like, well, you know, most movies that are made for 3D, they're not good except for the 3D effects. And to be fair, this is a little bit like that. I mean, as an adult, it would be kind of sucks. Whereas a movie like Monster House or The Nightmare Before Christmas, which they've released in 3D, but
is
not exclusively...
Right, a good movie first.
Yeah, they're not exclusively 3D. Most movies that are made exclusively for 3D, that you need to see them in 3D to get the full effect, and otherwise they'd be kind of lame.
Fair enough. So, kind of what I expected. That's why I didn't go.
Yeah. Well, so, you also don't have kids that you know about, but the 17 other...
Your official grade?
You know, I'm going to say kind of sucks, but if you're... less than 8 years old, It's
going to totally rock.
It's going to be rocking your world.
Sweet. Moving along, our next film is Mirrors. And in this one, Jack Bauer goes up against evil spirits who are trying to attack his family through, you guessed it, mirrors.
And I'm not acting scared, but he is.
Michael, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Amy, what's wrong?
There's somebody in the house. I'm so scared.
Amy, I'm seeing bad things. What if the mirrors can actually make us do things that we don't want to do?
Don't be scared, Mommy. I just want to come play with us.
When it says the mirrors can make you do things that we don't want to do, is that stuff like, you know, watch a movie with Rosie O'Donnell in it?
I suppose. I mean, the only cool thing that I saw coming out of this movie, and we didn't see it because they chose not to screen it here. Not,
yeah, it's screened in larger markets than Columbus.
It's screened 2 hours away from us, and we were pleasantly invited to that, you know, to drive 2 hours at 8:30 at night on Thursday before it came out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fox. Wow. That's okay. Stupid, man. Okay. But the only cool thing that came out of this was in the Red Band trailer where Amy Smart, you see her basically start to rip her face in half.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Amy Smart in a bathtub, which is in the trailer.
Ripping her face in half?
No, Amy Smart in a bathtub, I'm really
into. Usually a winner.
Really, yeah. Like that.
And I like Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, I'm, you know, 24 is a good show, and he's not a bad actor. I mean, he wasn't before 24, or he was before 24, but then all of a sudden he's
great. Are you saying? You're talking all over. You're just dying to get to the part where you can talk about Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up.
Here's
Mirrors.
The problem with a movie like Mirrors. One, I know a few people that saw it in L.A. and it was not. They didn't respond very well. And I mean, we're talking people who are the right target for this type of movie, you know. And they were like, "It's a huge steamy pile of crap." Now that's all hearsay, so it could very well be good. But as always, there's something to be said about a movie that they're not actively trying to put in front of critics.
Well, they're sort of half-heartedly.
That's why I said they're not actively. Yeah. I mean, they are. They're just not.
It's not like American Teen where they have 9,000 screenings.
They're not really concerned whether or not Kevin Carr gets to see the movie or not.
Or like Tropic Thunder. They've had a million screenings of Tropic Thunder, which I think is funny because there's a lot of people out there protesting who haven't seen it, who haven't taken advantage of those early screenings.
Right, exactly.
So there. Preview of what's to come.
So, but you know, it there's something to be said about that, and it's not getting good reviews from critics. So, you know, while we can't give it a preemptive suck because they did screen it, I suppose, and we haven't seen it, so we can't give it a real grade. I guess you just kind of have to put the pieces together for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I personally am kind of looking forward to it because I like the director's work. I think his name's pronounced
Alexander Aja.
Alexander Aja or Aja. I don't know whether it's Aja. I don't know if he's a Swedish band from the 80s. Is it Swedish? Or is Aha Swedish?
I don't know.
Or Norwegian? But no, I liked his stuff. I liked Hills Have Eyes. I liked High Tension. So I am kind of looking forward to it just for that. But I can't say I'm going to be breaking down. I'm not going to be speeding through a school zone to go see it on for opening weekend.
Right.
Of course, it'll be the weekend. So I don't know if I'll be speeding through any school zone.
I don't know if there will be any school zones.
I won't drive over the lawn of a preschool. Nice. To go see this movie.
Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and finally we'll talk about Tropic Thunder.
As you know, Neil, I am a child of the 70s. I was 5 and a half when Star Wars came out, so I love anything Star Wars.
You were also thin in the 70s.
Well, I was a child. I mean,
fair enough.
I was a 98-pound weakling when I was like 5. the next movie we're going to talk about is the new Star Wars movie. It's been both anticipated and dreaded in some circles. But
yeah, I guess it depends on who you are.
Yeah, it depends on who you are, and we'll see where it goes. Star Wars: The Clone Wars, a computer animated bridge between Star Wars episodes 2 and 3, about, you guessed it, the Clone Wars.
Kidnapped, Jabba the Hutt's son has been. Negotiate the treaty with Jabba. Obi-Wan will find the renegades that hold Jabba's son. Your mission will be, Skywalker,
Red light, stand by.
Soon the Jedi will not only be at war with you, Count, but the Hutt clan as well.
You know what I didn't like about this movie? I think this will be our big battle of the movie.
Okay.
It has to be, because I think we agreed on everything else and didn't see other stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens when we get to Vicky Christie Barcelona. But.
Oh, that's true. The real problem with this is you got the whole storyline right there in the trailer. In that 30-second clip that we played, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole story right there. So it really does feel like a television show. It feels like a television show that George Lucas kind of walked by one day while they were making it and went, hey, I wonder if we can make some more money if we put that in a theater.
That's exactly what happened, though.
That
is exactly what happened.
This movie is as advertised.
Well, and this is the thing where it's getting a lot of negative buzz because I think people are either ignoring the reality of what it is or just refusing to realize what the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a huge fan of the Star Wars movies. Like I said, I was 5 when the first one came out, and I saw all of them in the theaters back then, and I loved it when they'd really release the special editions and episodes 1, 2, and 3, even though episode 1 had its issues.
Right.
I still loved all 3 of them. I loved all 6 movies. And I grew up in a time when, you don't remember this because you weren't even a thought back when
they might have been thinking about me.
You were an accident.
My legend generally precedes me everywhere I go, so I'm sure that before birth, people were thinking about how great I was going
to
turn out.
Your mother told me you were an accident. Fair enough. She didn't mean to have you.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, it totally doesn't. But when the first Star Wars came out, it was in 1977. Everyone was inundated with so many ancillary materials. This is before the extended universe stuff really started to happen in the 80s and 90s. It was just like comic books, droid cartoon, ancillary materials, TV specials like the Star Wars Holiday Special, and none of it was consistent, and it was just the fact that it was Star Wars made it cool. And that's kind of what this reminded me of. You have to go in knowing this isn't one of the main live-action movies, and to expect it, you're going to be defeating your own enjoyment of this movie. It's based on a Cartoon Network short series that then they're making into a full-blown series, CGI, and the plot's a little thin, but you get a lot of battles, you get a lot of cool special effects, you get a lot of, lightsaber battles, you get lasers.
It felt like one big battle.
And
let's not beat around the bush here.
Well, but it's also aimed for a younger audience. It's aimed for the Cartoon Network
audience.
Totally for
kids. I believe I observed that it really did feel like the dialogue and some of the stories around some of the storyline around Anakin Skywalker and his new Padawan felt like something that got pulled directly off the Disney Channel.
Well, and that was the point, and I think,
which is fine.
Well, and the thing is, that information's out there. If you know anything about the movie, you know that that's what they're doing.
Right.
You know that if you watch the advertisements outside of just the theatrical one, because if you watch the main theatrical trailer, it makes it look like another proper Star Wars movie from that whole mythology. But if you watch the TV spots, it has a burping Jabba the Hutt baby. You know, it has...
And it has a transsexual Jabba the Hutt cousin.
That was one they didn't show in the trailers. Oh, it is weird. That does kind of...
That's about the weirdest thing you're ever going
to
see.
That's the Jazz Club moment from Spider-Man.
That's my thing. It's like, of all the movies, of all the progression, no, I didn't see them when I was a kid, but the progression of the Star Wars franchise is such that they are getting further and further and further and further away from the first ones. It's getting a little silly now. And
I disagree, but
I think there are going to be a lot of Star Wars fanboys who will go into this with the wrong idea
because they were stupid
and
didn't
wanting it to go
watch.
Back to the originals, and they're going to be sorely disappointed.
But that's their own fault because they have an ignorance of what they're. If you're a fanboy, you know what this thing's coming from.
But I also I think that's why this should have just stayed on TV. Like, it should have just been a television show, because it's just a big television show.
And, well, here's the other thing. First of all, for me, it was just cool to see another Star Wars movie. And from the beginning, you don't get the big Star Wars in the crawl. It's set up differently than the other movies. So,
like a television show.
From the minute. Yeah, exactly. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, if you go in thinking, well, it looks like a television show, it's not one of the movies. Well, yeah, duh. There's nothing out there saying that it's going to be like the first 6 movies, or even the first or the most recent 3.
Right.
But here's the other thing. This is made to capture a younger audience. The fanboy aspect of Star Wars is getting older and older and older. And I've seen this with my own kids, and this is where it sort of touches me. for the last couple of years, I've been trying to get my kids to watch Star Wars because it meant so much to me as a kid, and they're just like, I don't care. I want to watch SpongeBob, you know? And I'm just right. like, oh.
This is the SpongeBob version of Star Wars.
And, well, no, I wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. This is the Ben 10 version of Star Wars.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, because you don't have kids.
Let's see.
But what it does is it allowed me to bring my kids, and now my kids are all about Star Wars and want to start watching the movies, which is a wonderful thing for me. So you have to understand this is made for children. It's a family movie.
All right.
So
well,
let's, you know, you well, can sit there and be in denial and be
mad. What's
your
family moment man grade for
you
this?
You can be in denial about it, but you're just stupid if you are.
I just thought it was dumb to make a movie out of it.
No, it wasn't. It'll make money. They're made it already.
That's the point. That's the only reason they made a freaking movie.
The only development cost they have to deal with is just getting the prints out there.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you giving this as a grade?
It's a $5 million
effort. We got so much more to talk about here.
Okay. For me, it kind of rocked.
I'm saying kind of sucks.
Yeah, whatever.
So moving on, Tropic Thunder. As you probably know, this is about a group of prima donna actors who get a reality check when their excursion into the jungle turns into a real-life adventure.
Don't you die on me, Foley!
I'm sorry, can we cut?
I'm about to jump off this helicopter like Wesley Snipes.
I'm doing the scene right now.
What scene? The scene is about emotionality. Where is it?
I am dealing with a bunch of prima donnas.
Critically acclaimed Australian actor Kirk Lazarus underwent a controversial procedure in order to play the platoon's African-American sergeant.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Before we go on, I want to say the woman, I had to. The Greek girl from the Entertainment Tonight or whatever she's on.
Yeah, she has a almost scene-stealing moment in the movie. As does Tom Cruise.
She's hot.
Which we'll talk about that.
Tom Cruise is in there way more than she is. And he does not look as good in a bikini.
But I will say, right off the bat, this is easily Ben Stiller's best movie. I mean, as a director, at least as a director. You know, okay. I mean, we're talking Zoolander.
I like Zoolander. I have to say. I like me some Zoolander.
If you like that kind of thing, if you like Zoolander, you know, if you get that humor, and that's going to be really the overwhelming theme of Tropic Thunder. If you're able to understand the humor, you're going to love this movie. It is probably one of the funniest movies of the year, easily.
Or as I said in my review a little more harshly, if you don't get the joke, you don't deserve the laugh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where you have to really process the context of the jokes to get it. You know, there's a lot of offensive material in this. There's no beating around the bush. Robert Downey Jr. dresses up like has his skin dyed to play an African-American character. Yeah. You know, that there's the whole mentally disabled thing in there, you know, that is a huge issue. That stuff's funny in this movie.
And you have to understand
it's not funny
context.
Like on the street, but it's funny in this movie.
Yeah.
So because of the way they work it into the context of the joke. So hands down, probably the funniest movie I've seen all year. And I've seen some funny movies this year.
Yeah.
This one is ruckus.
Like Meet the Spartans.
Yeah, well, no. But like, you know, there are comedies like I Found the Whackness very funny, but that was more dark. Whereas this is silly, but very intelligently done. I
liken Tropic Thunder to Superbad from last year.
Yeah.
In that the story's pretty thin. It's kind of a lame premise, really, when you look at it.
Yeah.
But all the random stupidity and goofiness is what makes it work.
And there's a lot of nuances, like the soundtrack. It has that touch almost to the level of like a Blazing Saddles, where it has that touch of satire that's weaved through it that just makes it so much funnier than it really should be. Yeah.
But if you're also too uptight and you want to be offended at everything, you could take it as if it's a serious movie.
Yep.
And you will be offended.
You'll be very offended.
Every single one of the whatever 100 and some running time minutes that exists on screen.
So, I mean, if you really want to be offended going into this, you can be offended. Otherwise, this movie absolutely rocks.
It's hilarious. It's probably one of the best acting moments of Robert Downey Jr.
It's too. Robert Downey Jr. is...
I say it rocks.
This is his performance of the year. I say rocks as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about more movies. Why not?
Yeah, we got a couple indie movies to talk about.
Miles
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin, as we come back, I'm very excited this week because I'm a huge fan of independent film.
Yay.
And we got two indie spotlights to do today.
You haven't watched enough independent film, have you? Have you watched any real honest-to-God
independent film? Well, I'm skipping the Toronto Film Festival because I don't want to feel like I'm overwhelming everyone with my knowledge of independent film.
Well, what people don't realize is there's actually three different levels of independent film.
Yeah.
There's the, like, studio independent film, something like Pulp Fiction, which had a $15 million budget, was or My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which was funded by Tom Hanks, you know, something like that. Then there's the independent film that is something like Napoleon Dynamite, independently financed, maybe brought in a name or two, or a D-list or a C-list.
Right, and then it goes to a festival and blows festival up.
Gets picked up. The Whackness is kind of like that as well. Yep. Then there's grassroots independent film that go nowhere.
Amateur.
Which you haven't seen much of. You need to watch more of that. So when people go, I like independent
I've seen
film,
enough of that to know that I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like people who go, oh, I only like British television. I'm like, go to England and watch the BBC channels. Mm-hmm. What they see on BBC America and PBS is just like the best of the best that gets imported.
Not everything over there is spaced.
There is
just like not everything over here is... You know, like 24.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe it like...
Or Lost.
Yeah, maybe like in Germany, they'd be like, I like American reality television. They'd probably say it in German, but they would say that. And you'd be like, yeah, you don't... There's like 9 billion reality shows on that aren't the best ones that get
exported.
Yeah,
you might think you like Survivor, but wait until you get a load of the more... the Fattest Loser or The Biggest Loser or whatever.
Though The Biggest Loser is actually a good show.
Whatever.
Like Super Nanny.
Yeah.
Anything... else.
I'd say there's not a more discriminatory concept than Super Nanny. British people should be so offended by that. That's basically saying that all British people take care of their kids or can take care of our kids better than we can.
I was watching Super Nanny, and one of the things the thing is they shouldn't call it Super Nanny. They should call it Idiot Stupid Parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the parents are like, oh, well, every time they cry, I give them candy. And then when they want to do whatever they want, they throw a temper tantrum, so I give in. Is that okay?
Yeah. And then she's like... They find the dumbest parents possible.
Yeah, and then the British lady comes and she's like, oh, well, what you have to do is let them know that they're a person too and talk to them individually, you dumb idiot. I was going to say the R word, but I heard that that's taboo now.
Wow. You ragamuffin.
Ragamuffin. That's right. Ragamuffin.
Anyways, the first
what the
one
heck
we've
is
got
is a ragamuffin. Anyways.
I don't know. The first one we've got is called disgusting. Henry Poole is Here. It stars Luke Wilson as a guy who just mopes around his backyard waiting for the last days of his life until a miracle happens.
Bing.
Hi, I'm your neighbor from next door.
Henry Poole's life had hit rock bottom.
You having a party?
No parties.
I don't know if you're sad or angry or both,
but... You want me to tell you why I'm sad and angry?
So it is both.
Until the day...
Hey!
What are you doing?
Did you not see?
See what?
He found God.
And you can see the eyes here and the beard.
In his own backyard.
All I see is a water stain from a lousy stucco job.
All right, I'm going to do my review in the immortal words of Homer Simpson.
Oh,
ready?
No.
Boring.
Whatever.
Oh my God, this movie.
I love this
movie. So boring.
This was a... It's a movie with a lot of heart. And it's a movie with it's got a very cool visual style, I felt. Kind of gets in the way of itself.
You're going down.
But ultimately, I think Luke Wilson delivers a performance worthy of the price of admission. Easily worthy of the price of admission. He is good enough in this movie. I thought this is one of his better performances.
He delivers a performance worthy of the price of Legally Blonde or Charlie's Angels.
Not true. I thought he was much better in this than he was in Legally Blonde or Charlie's Angels.
Boring.
I thought this was a really good film.
Oh, this was so...
It has a lot of layers, and it does. It gets It gets a little
there
tedious.
There is no layers to this movie. There is one
layer. It's
a little
tedious at the end, where it kind of gets in its own way.
If you count the end starting 15
I think,
minutes in.
You know, put in the context of all of the independent films that I've seen this year, this one is up there. It's not the best movie that I've seen this year. It's not the best... You know,
you've just proved my point when you said if this is one of the best independent films you've seen this year, then most independent films this year must suck.
Wow.
Because this movie was so bad. It's directed by Mark Pellington, is that his name?
Maybe.
He's the guy who did Arlington Road and the Mothman Prophecies. The guy's overly pretentious in his directing. I've seen, if I see another out-of-focus shot from this film, I want to punch somebody in the face. It literally looks like he's like, well, we've got about 20 minutes of story, and then I'm going to fill up the rest of it with music video stuff. It's got that, you say, oh, edgy style. Everybody who does music videos, it looks exactly like a music video. And to me, that's no style, because music videos all have that generic look to them. And that may be considered stylized, but it's just more the same. The everybody's performance is sort of just phoned in that I've seen. It has good actors, and even Luke Wilson, who's I don't think he's ever proved himself as a great actor, but he can be funny. It's him really struggling to get an Oscar nom. He really should have just played a mentally challenged person instead.
Wow. Well, I don't think it's Oscar worthy, but I think it I still think that it was an enjoyable experience.
Boring.
So that's because you don't like films that you have to process.
Oh no, there's no process. Like there was nothing to it.
That is just all right in front of you, boobs and guns.
Well, there were no boobs, no guns in this movie, and
exactly.
There wasn't anything that's to process. All it was just this pedantic, boring storyline just vomited out in front of you and gussied up with special wide-angle lenses and overly processed film.
I would disagree. It's a very sad story.
It's the most boring story
whatever
on the planet.
Whatever. Maybe you just didn't have a disturbed childhood like he did.
Okay. Whatever. This is stupid.
Anyways,
I don't even
want to
talk. This conversation's boring.
Speaking of a movie.
Let's move on to the next boring independent film. This one sucked.
Wow. The next one we've got is Vicky Cristina Barcelona. It's the Woody Allen film in which Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz make out and talk a lot. Yeah.
I am Juan Antonio, and you are?
Cristina, and this is my friend Vicky.
I'd like to invite you both to spend the weekend. We'll eat well, we'll drink good wine, we'll make love.
Who exactly is going to make love?
Hopefully the three of us.
This guy, he doesn't beat around the bush. Look, senor, maybe in a different life.
Now here's what I will say about this. It's a Woody Allen film. Like, it's very, very much a Woody Allen. What are you doing?
I'm doing my Javier Bardem impersonation.
First of all, this film, if you
boring.
If you don't like Woody Allen's work, you're not going to like this, because it's very atypical Woody Allen talk film. But I will say this. I thought Javier Bardem, a lot of fun in the movie. He actually, his character is the man I would like to grow up and be someday.
Yeah, everybody would. If you could just walk into
a
restaurant and be like, hey, we're going to spend the weekend together and we're all going to make love.
Yep. And really? I thought Rebecca Hall, who's not Scarlett Johansson or Penelope Cruz, was probably the most alluring person in this film because she was actually pretty funny.
Now, admit it, you wanted Javier Bardem.
And I want Javier Bardem. But I was a little disappointed in the movie because it stopped short of ever being risque. Like,
stopped short?
It
stopped long from being risque.
Yeah.
Can you agree with me on that, at least?
It is being advertised as a much sexier film than it turned out to be.
Ultimately, this movie is being pitched to the audience as Scarlett Johansson, Penelope Cruz, and Javier Bardem have a three-way. I'm going to spoil it for everybody. The clip you see in the trailer where they just start to kiss, it ends there, and then they talk. And then they talk.
But I thought the shots of Barcelona were very lovely. The a lot of the story was, was good enough, but it did become tedious. Similar to Henry Poole, where it was just, you kind of just want to get it over with at the end. But I thought, still, also worth going to see. It's a solid flick.
It's like having sex with a really attractive person who just isn't into it. Just eventually just want to get it over with. It looks good, sure. But it's a bit tough to get through.
But I thought it's a well-made movie. Woody Allen doesn't make terrible films.
I'm going to disagree with you on that, and I'll tell you why. It's some of the most amateurish piece of filmmaking I've seen. Yes, the shots of Barcelona and the shots of Spain look beautiful, but they couldn't keep the characters in focus. They'd walk in and out of focus. Whoever was pulling focus on it, they couldn't keep the lens in focus. They'd have light effects go weird. I mean, if you watch the technical ass side of it, it is poorly, poorly made. It looks beautiful.
Because I was staring at Scarlett Johansson the whole time.
That's wonderful. I'm not a huge fan of her. But here's the thing.
I am.
And I will also disagree where you say it's a typical Woody Allen movie. I say it's typical of his really earlier stuff, like his stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Really?
Like Annie Hall up to, say, Mighty Aphrodite, you know, even into the early 90s. After that point, he started to actually kind of work outside of the box with stuff like Curse of the Jade Scorpion, Celebrity, where he stopped casting himself in the main character. Because trust me, if he would have cast himself in Javier Bardem's role, it would have been creepy.
That would have been really creepy.
So it's what Woody Allen would want to be. Because normally he'd cast himself.
Right.
But so it has that. So in recent years, he's done stuff like Scoop and Match Point and some real interesting out-of-the-box stuff for his type of film. This goes back to just neurotic New Yorkers. They just happen to be in Barcelona. And so if you like that sort of thing, you'll probably like this movie. I personally didn't. I thought it was way, way too boring.
I was engaged.
Yeah, whatever. You just and then it has this pretentious narration, which is again lazy.
Which that
film.
Really did get to me, and that I think is what ultimately pushed it back the other way for me. Like I really wanted to like this movie a lot more than I ended up because of Captain Obvious, the narrator.
Well, like yeah, there's a scene where like Javier Bardem gets up in the middle of the night and runs out the door, and over the narration's going, and he gets up in the middle of the night and he ran out the door.
Right, basically, and they had lunch, and it was good,
and it was good.
And then they made love.
Yeah, whatever. No, so, we're not going to show you that.
Right, and we're not going to show you.
But they're going to talk about it.
So yeah, I'm going to say kind of sucks just because my expectations were way too high for this movie.
You know, I'm going to actually say kind of sucks too. So in a way, we agree. But the only reason it's not a full suck is because it was better than Henry Pohl is here.
Wow. Anyways, moving on to the box office. So let's talk about the box office real quick.
Real quick.
Really, the question this week is Tropic Thunder going to beat The Dark Knight? I say yes.
I think
Tropic Thunder is going to clear $30 million, especially with the controversy. We're going to talk about this in the internet-only segment, but the amount of controversy that has... It is really spun... It went from some people aren't going to go see this to now there are a bunch of people who will go see this that weren't going to see it before because they need to see what everyone's mad about.
Yeah.
So I think easily clear $30 million, but I think Dark Knight...
I think the Dark Knight
probably going to be in second again this week.
It'll be second. It's going to be. I think it's going to be a close race between Dark Knight and Clone Wars, just because the Dark Knight. This is its fifth week, so
right.
Look,
and there's not really another kids movie out there.
And the thing is, if you haven't seen the Dark Knight yet, you don't deserve to see the Dark Knight because right.
Seriously,
a month.
People, what is wrong with you?
So and
if you haven't seen it
Wars,
twice yet, you're in.
I don't think the Clone Wars is going to clean up. It's not. It's an August release. It's not a major Star Wars, but. I think it's going to do okay, but I think I don't know. I'm just going to say on the outside that the Clone Wars beats the Dark Knight.
Oh, wow. That's a bold prediction. When we come back, we'll have more bold things to say, unless you're listening to us on the radio. And as always, we're back. On the internet
as
only.
Always? We're not always back.
Well, we always come back.
Oh, okay, every week. Okay, I get
every
it.
Week I for the internet only segment.
Okay.
So this week we got all kinds of fun stuff to talk about.
No, we don't.
I
we
suppose.
Have one fun thing to talk about.
Yeah, we're just going to... we're not doing Bring On the Hype this week because there's not really that many cool trailers out there. Although there was a Body of Lies trailer, which that movie looks better and better every trailer that comes out. But, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, okay.
The big topic of the week is Tropic Thunder.
Yes, and how offensive it is. I am offended. And in fact...
You are very offended.
I am...
But you've also been exposed in a scandal this
week. I am going to propose that we change the name of the show to The Other F-Word Guys at the Movies.
The Other F-Word Guys at the Movies.
Well, it's not the F-Word, because everyone knows what the F-Word is.
Right, Farfignugan.
Yes, exactly. And then there's The Other F-Word, which, yes, that's right. If you've seen the fake trailers in front of Tropic Thunder, it's
fatties.
Fatties.
Yeah.
This movie is so offensive to fat people.
It is. It's so offensive. Yeah, you're right. God.
I couldn't walk out for
white people.
Yeah, and it's to imply that fat people have bad gas. I mean, have you ever known me to have bad gas?
Yes.
I've known
that you've had bad gas pretty much the entire time we've been recording here.
Pretty much at the Magical Studio in the Sky, I have...
You have bad gas.
If you hear some noise
here,
in the background...
I believe that you intentionally bring it with you. So.
Well, I mean, I can't leave it at home.
Right.
I'm like Saudi Arabia. It just happens inside me.
Wow.
And you have to mine it. Well, like oil. You can't drink Saudi Arabia's milkshake. And you can't drink my milkshake.
What are you talking about?
I am John McCain's new energy program.
Wow. I think you just made the most powerful political statement to ever make on this. Because basically you just said that John McCain would choose you as his energy program.
I think I could make a mint off of this. Well, I'm just wasting it. It's just going into the air.
I agree.
I'll make bean soup every
night. So Kevin's offended by the fat people. And
what offends you about to Tropic Thunder?
Advocates for the mentally disabled or the cognitively disabled.
What is the word now? Because the thing is, is it not, you're not allowed to say retarded too?
You're not allowed to say retarded.
But there's the Association of Retarded Citizens.
It's a clinical term. Yeah.
Yeah. ARC, the Association of Retarded Citizens. It's an actual term. It's like the United Negro College Fund.
You're not allowed to
call a black guy a Negro, you will get punched in the face if you're lucky.
Well, that's a safer word than the other N word.
Yeah, I know, but they're not going. That's not what they were originally called either. It wasn't the United N Word College Fund,
right?
Because that would have been bad, no matter what era it came out.
So, people in favor, advocates for the mentally disabled, are offended by the use of the word retard and the portrayal of a mentally handicapped person in the movie.
Which isn't true.
And now African American folks are offended because they didn't get to be offended.
Yeah, they weren't offended. No one's pointing out that they're offended that Robert Downey Jr. is a black
Because Robert Downey Jr. basically has his skin dyed so that he can play the black character in the movie.
And again,
I don't know who should be more offended. I think I'm offended because people are so offended. I'm offended that people don't get the joke.
Yeah,
that's why I'm offended.
There are no mentally or cognitively disabled characters in Tropic Thunder.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And Robert Fury on Film School Rejects, I think he phrased it the best by he says they're not making fun of people with mental cognitive disabilities. They're making fun of actors who portray them.
Like Sean Penn.
Durr.
But that is the entire point of the argument, I guess, from the one side, is that within the context of the movie, it is not offensive. It is part of the joke. And you know what? That's the thing about comedy, is there's very little comedy out there that is not at the expense of someone. You know, you can make fun of American society. You can make fun of the president. You can make fun of fat people, you can make fun of homeless people.
Oh, no, I take offense at the whole fat people.
You can make fun of anything.
And I don't think you should call them fat.
Think about, it was funny because I just got on DVD the Comedy Central Presents, and it's like Frank Caliendo and Daniel Tosh and
all the fat comics.
And Zach Galifianakis and all of these great comics. You go through these routines who are, you know, recognized as top level comics, even Jerry Seinfeld. Everything is at the expense of someone.
What so is I'm with sorry, the comics?
Right. I'm sorry that this joke is at the expense
of actors.
Of actors who portray mentally disabled people. But that's part of the joke. There's no reason for people to be offended. Absolutely no reason for people. And on top of that, the movie's rated R.
Yeah, and part of the thing is they're saying, oh, well, it's because they use the word, because if you throw that out of them, they say, well, and if you point out, no, it's making fun of how Ben Stiller's character, Tug Speedman, is exploiting people with disabilities to try and get an Oscar.
Right.
That's who it's making fun of. And they don't get that.
Basically, my point is you have every right to be offended by the way Hollywood portrays people with mental disabilities, but you should not be picketing the premiere of Tropic Thunder. You should be at Sean Penn's house.
Exactly.
Picketing him.
And Cuba Gooding Jr.
And Cuba Gooding Jr.
Who I heard did radio in blackface.
But I'm sorry.
Because that's a question. That's actually true with the blackface argument. Wouldn't makeup for a darker toned person, that would be considered blackface, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Because it's not, but
what Robert Downey Jr. does in Tropic Thunder isn't even blackface. It's a transformation to a completely different race.
Yeah. It's
blackface was always comically noticeable.
But I'm being absurd here by saying, you know, the whole point is if you're going to say anytime somebody puts makeup on their face to change their appearance,
right,
that is what offensive. You're just being stupid. Right. You're just saying I just want to be offended.
Well, and I think there's a couple things that work here, and readers of Film School Rejects will know at this point that I got to write a little editorial on CNN.com about this, which was very cool. Like, probably my 15 minutes of fame, and they're all up now.
They're done.
But my article went head-to-head with an article written by Tim Shriver, who's the head of the Special Olympics, which, for all intents and purposes...
And he's not retarded.
He's not. I would like to say that...
No, that makes a point, because I think people don't quite know.
And
all the people who are offended at this movie are not people with disabilities.
They're people with people in their family.
I don't know.
And I have respect for the man because he runs the Special Olympics. Special Olympics is a fantastic program that helps people with cognitive disabilities, you know.
Or a handicap, too.
Or handicap people, or whatever. It's a great program.
Yeah.
The problem is that this guy has gone out and... I mean, basically, he said the use of the word retard is unacceptable.
In any sense.
In any way. As well, his argument states that they use the word retard 17 times. They only use the N-word once.
Which N-word?
Which is to say that, I mean, I guess if they use the N-word more, it would be okay. Or they need to be, like, equal offenders. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he's offended that is, like, a bigger part of the movie, you know. But he also goes on, and he really, it's not the response that I had a problem with. It's the level of response.
The pretentious nature of his response.
Yeah, the pretentious nature of this movie is bad. They need to change it. We need to ban this film. And no one should go see this, and then all the studios from now on should actively not only hire mentally disabled people, which I don't disagree with. There should be a program that helps them, you know, work in the film industry, but not...
I don't think there needs to be a program. I think that if somebody who's mentally disabled wants a job and is capable of doing the job, then by all means hire them.
But I think to say we should ban the movie, to say that... that they should go in and make edits a week before the release is ridiculous. And I think it is him going from... Basically, he saw people who were getting offended, and he saw his opportunity to grab spotlight.
Well, and here's the thing.
And just get himself in front of the camera.
This is what enrages me about Tim Shriver, is he's using this as a blatant exploitation. He's exploiting his own base. He's exploiting people with cognitive disabilities, and he's putting them in front of cameras with picket signs and yelling, making them yell and scream. He's not putting the parents in front of him. He's getting people that fit the absolute stereotype of somebody who's got a mental disability, and he's throwing them in the spotlight and using them to put focus on the Special Olympics, which is good, but he wants it for his own pocketbook. Here's proof. I'll give you proof. By being part of the Special Olympics, he was involved in the movie The Ringer, which is Johnny Knoxville's film where he tries to fix the Special Olympics. Now, it got approved by the Special Olympics. And if you've seen the movie, it's not a good movie. It's kind of crappy.
Right.
But it presents the Special Olympics in a positive light. And it actually handles the whole mental disability issue very, very well. Here's the issue. He's an executive producer on that movie. Guess what word is used in that movie? Ad nauseum. Retard.
Right.
And they use it. Now, it's the bad guys saying it, and it's the insensitive people saying, but he's made it perfectly clear it is unacceptable in any way to use the word retard. There's no excuse for it.
Right.
And he's an executive producer on the movie. I'm sure he pulled a salary from the movie.
I'm sure.
That's what
executive producer means, that you get the money.
Yeah, this guy's a big freaking hypocrite. Well, and then there's a guy
On top of that, I think he's really just exploiting the emotions of people who might actually be offended by this film. It's okay that there are people out there that are offended that this film uses that word and won't go see it. It's not okay for this guy to come in and exploit that and create this huge public outrage over something like that. It's okay that, you know what, I have a cousin who has Down syndrome.
You do?
Yes, okay. I do. And if my aunt and uncle decide that they don't want to go see it because they're offended by the fact that happens, that's fine. They have every right to be, you know? I would never try and argue with them. But to then take those emotions and exploit that and cause a huge public outcry in the form of protests just so that Tim Shriver can get himself on CNN is ridiculous. I think there are more productive things that he can do to help people with cognitive disabilities. Significantly more productive. Like... Maybe, you know, I mean, somebody mentioned it in the comment section of the CNN article. Maybe you should start protesting, you know, the companies that spill chemicals that cause birth defects, you know. Let's start there. Ben Stiller's not the problem.
No.
You know, and Ben Stiller even said, we were not trying to offend anyone. We just we were just making jokes.
Well, you know, here's the other. Yeah. This is something else in the CNN piece that there's on the page on Film School Rejects that links to your response. Mm-hmm. There's an embedded video from CNN about the protest, and they've got Tim Shriver in there spouting his rhetoric. And there's another guy, I don't even know what he's from, but he's from another group.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out there and he's like, well, now there are people selling T-shirts on the internet that say, don't go full retard. He goes, isn't that terrible? I'm like, you know who's caused that?
You.
You guys, because you guys have made a national issue out of that phrase. And otherwise, it would be just this phrase that would be lost in the movie that nobody else would have pulled out of there, because it's not the crux of the movie. It's just a small part of it.
Right.
And the fact that you've made it a national issue has pushed the national use of the word retard more.
Right.
And this is the problem with people protesting things, is they bring too much attention. I'll bet you the people at Paramount and DreamWorks are just dancing around, clapping their hands with glee,
right,
that there's this much exposure. And here's the other thing. There's an insinuation in all the things I've seen, emails from people, angry blogs, whatever, that they're saying, oh, well, now we're going to have kids calling mentally disabled children retards on the playground. This has been going on for decades. And to imply that right now nobody's calling kids retards on a playground,
and after this is going to cause it,
and next week it's going to cause it, is
a little off.
Ridiculous.
Just a little.
Because kids are cruel. And you know what? It's an R-rated movie. Kids shouldn't be seeing it. If you're upset that kids are seeing it, go after the parents who are taking the kids to see the movie. Don't go after the people making the movie. It's like, if you're like, oh, well, the torture porn was too much, I don't want my kids seeing Hostel, then don't take your kids to Hostel. It's rated R.
Right. It's rated R for a reason.
By the time you're 17, you have determined whether it's okay or not to call somebody a retard. And watching a movie like Tropic Thunder has no play on that.
Right.
So there.
All right. I think we've pretty much exhausted that particular discussion.
Yes.
When we come back, we're going to wrap you up with some DVDs and talk about those movies again, and we'll send you off into the next week. And as always, it's time to wrap you up. Fat guys at the movies. We had a very... It wasn't even a heated debate, because we were both yelling at the rest of the world.
Can I throw in one quick other thing about Tim Shriver?
Sure.
Because if you didn't hear that, you may not want to go back and read. Not only was he a producer of The Ringer, which used the R word completely, he was a co-producer of Amistad,
which
I haven't actually seen, but I'm pretty sure they say the N word a couple times in that movie.
They might. I don't know. But it's to, you know, I mean, it's historical, so I guess it's okay.
No, it's not. It's unacceptable in any way.
Yes.
Anyway,
if you missed it, we had a very long discussion, basically about a 15-minute discussion in the internet-only segment about the controversy surrounding the film Tropic Thunder and how silly it might be. But you have to hear the whole discussion, just like you have to see the movie in order to be able to say this is unacceptable or it is acceptable.
Yes.
We've both seen the movie, and we get the context of all the jokes.
So then...
Moving on to the DVD roundup.
Sorry, I was so distracted by the whole Tropic Thunder thing.
We've got a few to talk about. We've actually got a few picks of the week, but we'll start with yours.
My pick is Smart People, which wasn't a great, great movie, but it was funny enough. Stars Ellen
really
Page.
Funny.
It was very. It was funny.
It again. I got it on DVD. I watched it again. It was very funny.
Yeah, it definitely has its funny parts. And it what's great about it is it's about a movie about really, really intelligent people who are totally dysfunctional and pariahs, anyways.
Right.
And their stupid brother comes in.
Right.
And is the person who kind of brings them together.
Right. And Thomas Hayden Church plays the just everyman brother.
Yeah.
Who's just kind of a bum, and he's absolutely hilarious. And the relationship that he has with Ellen Page's character in the movie, who plays the daughter, who's like young Republican, crazy, like, you know, she studies to get the perfect score on the SAT. Mm-hmm. Their relationship is hilarious.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that actually makes fun of smart people even better than Noah Baumbach's Squid and the Whale.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. My pick is CJ7 from Stephen Chow. And if you're a fan of Stephen Chow, which you absolutely should be, because
Hi-ya!
He's done Kung Fu Hustle, Shaolin Soccer, this guy is probably one of the most talented filmmakers coming out of Asia that is, you know, doing comedy. It's not, you know, he's not making crappy horror films or martial arts movies or anything like that. I mean,
he is making martial arts movies.
Well, I mean, Kung Fu Hustle was more
Shaolin Soccer
parody, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he uses it to comedic
effect. Yeah, but he is very funny. Mm-hmm. And this one is is a very heartwarming film because it's about basically this really poor guy and his young son, who's actually played by a girl, which is
really
the craziest thing. When you watch the movie, you're like, oh my God, I can't even believe it's a girl. And they find this little...
Was it like the Crying Game or something like that?
No, it was just... It was weird because it's... all the mannerisms of a little boy and stuff like that. It's very cool. And they find this little alien. And the alien kind of helps them write their own path.
So it's like an Asian E.T.?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But the little alien thing's cute as hell.
So, like E.T.
Like E.T. And we have a co-op pick, I guess, this week.
A co-op?
Yeah, a cooperative pick.
Oh, okay.
Where we both picked it.
Yes.
South Park season 11.
Rock on, South because Park.
Because based on principle alone, we recommend South Park.
Yeah, because if you are offended by Tropic Thunder, you haven't been watching South Park.
Right, exactly. In fact, this is the season that starts with Stan's dad on Jeopardy, where he says the N-word on national television. That's the first scene of this season, and it just gets more ridiculous from there. And I love South Park. I think it is... perfectly irreverent.
My wife doesn't like South Park, so I don't get to watch it that much.
That's fine. You can come over here and watch it. I got it.
Yes.
So let's do a little review wrap up here. We'll start with Tropic Thunder.
Rocked.
Totally rocks. And move on to Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
That kind of rocked.
I said it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And then we had Mirrors, which neither one of us saw.
Can we instead of saying a preemptive suck? Can we say a presumptive
suck. We presume that this is going to suck.
Yeah. Although I might kind of like it.
Who knows? We'll update you next week on whether or not Kevin liked it. Vicky Cristina Barcelona, which it appeared that we were going to disagree on, but ultimately...
We both gave it a kind of suck.
Yeah. And then the big disagreement of the week was over Henry Poole is here.
Sucked. Sucked.
You said boring. It sucks. I said kind of rocks. But and really, for me, it was all Luke Wilson. The rest of the movie... might have been a kind of sucks, but Luke Wilson was good enough.
It wasn't the woman from Babel who got nominated for an Academy Award for just a terrible performance.
No, but she was good in the movie, too. And then Fly Me to the Moon, which you saw and I did not.
Kind of sucked, actually. I mean, unless you're like 7.
Right, which neither one of us are.
Yes.
So.
Fortunately.
I guess. So anyways, next
our voices would be really low, and then when we go through puberty, it would be like we'd be like Barry White.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Or the now gone Isaac Hayes.
Or Jabba the Hutt.
Or Jabba the Hutt. Not his transsexual cousin though.
Yeah. What did Cole Abias from Film School Reject called him? The Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Lucille Ball.
But speaking of South Park, he's like the Cartman of the South Park universe. He sounded like a transsexual version of
and
Cartman.
And he looked like Cartman, too. Yeah. That's what Cartman looks like without his hat and coat
really
on.
Creepy. Anyways, next week we've got another full slate for you. We've got Hamlet 2, which...
Which you should protest.
We've already talked about liking this movie.
Well, so. and Pam Brady, the writer, and Andrew Fleming...
Wants the Catholic League to protest it.
Yes, she actually asked me to protest it.
I think we're going to.
We should.
We also have Death Race, which we should probably protest because it looks dumb. The Long Shots, which I haven't even...
That's really. The one with Ice Cube.
Oh, Ice Cube.
And his niece who wants to play football.
We've also got The House Bunny,
which just looks
Anna
awesome.
Ferris, and The Rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Which is awesome.
Yep. And in between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you would like to send us a more vocal message about our thoughts.
We want your hate mail.
614-388-8735. And until next week, Kevin, I'll smell you later. Mwahaha!